Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Trust that you already have your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. If you didn't, I'd like to ask if you have a Bible to open it. And we're going to look at the subject, It's a Boy. I know some of you are waiting for that announcement. It's a boy. It is a boy, isn't it? Pat and Terry, waiting for, have they named the boy yet?
Conrad
Jeffrey. Well, that's good. I think that's your husband's name, and of course, Jeff's name. Wonderful name. Well, we're going to look at another birth announcement this morning from another time. And that announcement is found in the Old Testament in several places, actually. But this is one in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And I want to just read it again, a very short verse there and part of the next verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Would you bow with me, pause and bow with me in just a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this time that we could share it together. Father, thank you for these messages and song that we've sung and that we've heard Betty and Pat present so beautifully, the birthday of a king. Thank you for the choir. Just thank you for this and for Brother Curtis and for all that have come this morning to share this time of worship, praise of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Father, speak to us through your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And we ask it all in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Most birth announcements are sent out after the birth of a child. You know, that used to be true. I don't know whether that's as true as it used to be. Of course, when they're not there yet, there's not really anything you can announce except that, you know, it's coming. Well, this is kind of like that. But this one was sent out 700 years before the birth. So there had to be foreknowledge there, obviously. And this is why this is called God's Word, isn't it? So we're going to look a little bit at this birth announcement, if you will, found in Isaiah 6 and 7. It is an announcement that prepares us to welcome Jesus into our hearts. Now, I want us to notice, you know, in most birth announcements, there's a description. The name, usually the vital statistics, I guess they would be called, the length, or I guess you wouldn't call it height yet, but the length and the weight, usually, and of course the date, and any other pertinent details. Well, we're going to look at some of the details of this birth announcement, if you will. It's a boy. Notice the description of that birth announcement. First of all, I want us to notice his nativity. Now, of course, nativity refers to the birth. The coming of Jesus. Obviously, I believe this was Jesus. I don't know of anyone else it could be. But it says here, would you notice, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now that us includes us, doesn't it? It's like what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He is the Son of Man. I think this was the title that Jesus most liked to use. He didn't go around saying, I'm the Son of God, very much, but He did. He was the Son of God, and He did say that on a couple of occasions, but it wasn't that He seemed to delight in that. He seemed to delight rather in this title, the Son of Man. Because this is why Jesus came, wasn't it? It says here, to us a child is born. To us a son is given. There's another name for Jesus. There are many names for Jesus. I don't know. I'm sure someone has counted how many names for Jesus there are in the Bible. But one of my favorites is Emmanuel. And that name means God with us. With us. Here it says, unto us. A child is born. Unto us, a son is given. But He is also the Son of David. Now, when it prophesied this, when the Word of God prophesied this, it prophesied of not just an ordinary son, but one who would be the descendant of David, who would fulfill the prophecies that God gave to the house of David. You'll remember that God said of His descendants, He would raise up a son whose kingdom would be forever, an eternal kingdom. And let me ask you, have you realized that Jesus came to where you are? That song that the choir did, incidentally, we're going to, that's one of the I think five that we're going to present next Sunday. So I hope you'll come next Sunday. I hope you'll bring others with you. We still have some pew space here. We're not full yet. But good to see everybody here this morning, and we appreciate so much you being here. Well, he's the son of David. He's the son of man. Have you realized that he came to where you are? He is the son of David. Have you acknowledged him as your king? Messiah is really the kingly title for Jesus. It means the anointed one. Have you anointed him as king of your life? And he's also the son of God. Now, I said that Jesus didn't go around saying, "I am the Son of God," because Jesus was humble. But on two or three occasions, I remember Jesus saying, "I am the Son of the Highest." In fact, when he was asked at his crucifixion, "Are you the Son of the Highest?" And he said, "I am." Very plainly, he said that he was the Son of God, and he is the Son of God. There's no other like him. That virgin birth means that Jesus came into this world and was not tainted by sin as we all are. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But let me ask you, if you have received him, if you have received him as God's gift to you, John 3:16, I believe is a great Christmas passage, a great Christmas verse. In fact, it's the greatest verse in the Bible, bar none. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Receive him. Well, I want us to look at his authority. Notice what it says about that in these verses here. It says, "To us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." And then in verse 7 it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Now this speaks of one who is superior. I love the New Testament book rather of Hebrews. If you've never read the book of Hebrews, you ought to read it. Because it tells us how Jesus is better. How he's better than the Old Testament sacrificial system. It was never meant to be an end to itself. Rather, it was meant to point to the one who would be the Lamb of God, who would fulfill in himself all of these sacrifices that God prescribed in the Old Testament times to his people Israel. But he is superior. He is superior in every way. We have examples of that. When you go and buy a car, you want one that's the best that you can afford. Now, I know you'd like a Cadillac or a Mercedes or something like that. Maybe some of you have one. But, we want the best. Well, God sent his very best. And should not we give our best to him? He is superior. But he is also sovereign. Here it speaks of his sovereignty, how he is, again, the king. The government, it says, will be upon his shoulders. The world is looking for a leader like that. Now, unfortunately, we're looking in the wrong place. We're going to have failings in our leaders, even the best of our leaders. I thank God that we have a Christian president. But he's not perfect, and he would admit not to be perfect. We all fail, but here is one whose authority is perfect. He is a benevolent king, a truly benevolent king who cares about us. But he is sovereign over all. And I know that raises questions. Well, did God allow that hurricane to hit New Orleans and other places along the Gulf Coast? Did God send it? I don't believe God necessarily sent it. But God allowed it because he's sovereign. Some of the things that we think are mitigated tragedies are really blessings in disguise. We just don't recognize it as such. But history, I love to think of history as His story, because He knows the beginning from the end, and the end from the beginning. He knows it all. He is in control. Here's one who is in control. And here's one also who is strong. You know, that old argument is, you know, if God is, if He allows the evil that's in the world today, He must be either weak or not loving. But that's not the God that's depicted to us in the Bible. That's not the God that we know, who sent His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross. Rather, He is strong. He is strong and loving at the same time.